this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Grave Digger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum. No need to be greedy. I got
mad friends with Benzes. See notes by the layers. True to life players. What's up, Packers fans? Welcome to another episode of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. We are in the doldrums of the offseason. In fact, that's what I named the Friday mailbag over at Packer Report, where we gratefully took your questions and answered a few of them. But this little period, this little space between the Super Bowl and the NFL Combine, where there's no free agency, there's no draft, there's no news, man, unless a coach is getting hired or fired. It's tough. And so that is the void that the XFL is filling. And we're going to try and help fill it for you as well. Gilbert Brown, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy? How we doing today?
We're doing well. We're doing well. What was the initial reaction on the XFL?
It was pretty good action. You know, different things they got in there to keep the fans excited. I like the 3-point, 2-point, 1-point deal.
Yeah.
No kicking. No extra points, but it's pretty good, man. I like it.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts is the just the audacity of the sideline reporters. Like, if a guy fumbles, she literally just walks up to him immediately. So you fumbled. What was that like? And I couldn't imagine somebody, you know, if like Rodgers threw up a pick and Aaron Andrews just walked immediately over to him and it's like, what happened there? Yeah, the XFL sure is something.
Yeah, that's that type of stuff where you'd be like, are you for real?
I think they're kind of almost angling towards somebody freaking out on them, you know, because I think that would make for, especially in today's day and age, it would, as the kids say, go viral. You know, if a quarterback made a really dumb play, or, you know, if a safety missed a tackle, and they go over there and ask him about it, I think at some point someone's going to snap, and that's going to go all over the internet.
Right. Let's right. Just wait for it.
Exactly. No, it's coming. We just don't know when. All right. So let's hit the news real quick. Your Packers fans had a little bit of fun with this, I think. And that is that the Vikings, and I'm going to pull up the tweet here just so I have the wording exactly correct. The Minnesota Vikings have added Dom Capers to the 2020 coaching staff as senior defensive assistant. And I you know, Packers fans are really being rough, I think, on Capers. And it's maybe deserved. I will say that this type of move worked well for the Vikings last year, in the sense of they brought Gary Kubiak on as a senior offensive assistant and kind of helped install that zone run scheme and helped his son Clint Kubiak as well. And now Gary's actually the offensive coordinator. I don't think that's in the cards for Dom. I don't think they hired Dom Capers with the idea that he'll be their defensive coordinator one day. But it's tough, because my opinion of Capers is really kind of shaded, in the sense that I think his schemes were awesome in the 90s when he was the defensive coordinator of the Steelers and the Jaguars. I think he even still got away with it in like 09, 10 when the Packers had good defenses. And then to me, it seemed like the game kind of passed him by. And he was running a lot of stuff that certainly and very obviously wasn't working. But ultimately, I believe it'll still be Zimmer's defense. Any thoughts on Capers going over to the Purple People?
No.
Fair enough. that's the hard hitting stuff that people come here for. But no, I just, it is what it is. I honestly don't think he's going to have a ton of responsibility. you know, Zimmer is the defensive coordinator. I know his the nameplate on his desk says head coach. Let's be real. He's the defensive coordinator. Then they've got co-DCs in Andre Patterson, who's their defensive line coach, and then Mike's son, Adam Zimmer, who is the linebackers coach. So, man, if you're talking about Dom, you're talking about like the fourth or fifth most important guy on that defensive staff. So if you're ready for the Vikings to go to Capers 3-4 defense, that's not happening. You know, they're going to run their same 40 front stuff that they did before. I don't know what he's going to do there. You know, I really don't. I mean, maybe they'll run a little of his zone blitz, which confuses quarterbacks, or at least used to confuse quarterbacks. But I think it's more of a joke for Packers fans to kind of get a rise out of than something that is really going to like screw with the Vikings or make them a much worse defense hiring Capers. Anyway, the Packers are leaning into this era of analytics. They have promoted their analytics guy, Connor Lewis, to being the offensive quality control coach, or being a offensive quality control coach. So a move up for Coach Lewis, a promotion for a guy that they, you know, have had in an analytics position, and the numbers side of football just continues to grow. I know that's something you have absolutely no time for, Gilbert.
What is it called?
Analytics.
How do you spell that?
No time, zero time for analytics.
I'm not saying it's not important. Everything's important, but
right, it's just not something that you are gonna pay attention to, or certainly have an opinion on. Numbers are just not your thing. We've discussed this,
right?
Yeah,
right.
People understand this. I laid out a few. We're talking about the Packers wide receiver coach candidates. I laid out a few. I think one was kind of a wild card. Dennis Simmons. He's the wide receiver coach at Oklahoma. Under Coach Riley, I don't think it's he makes a ton of money. I think he might be the recruiting coordinator there at OU. Mm-hmm. I just think it'd be tough for him to make it. And then two guys that were on the list as well, Rich Scangarello. He is now, I think, maybe the passing game coordinator with the Eagles, so he's gone. And then the other guy that everybody was looking for was Mike LaFleur, Matt's brother, and the 49ers re-signed him, and now Kyle Shanahan has doubled down on what he originally said, which is that he wasn't going to let Mike LaFleur leave unless it was for an offensive coordinator position where he's actually calling the plays, not just an offensive coordinator position. And now he has basically said he wants Mike LaFleur in San Francisco until somebody offers him a head coach job. So what I think the upshot of that is Mike and Matt are not going to work together in Green Bay. That's a dream that is kind of over. And the last guy that's on my list, two coaches, Katie Sowers, the offensive offensive assistant with the 49ers that has worked with Mike LaFleur and Matt LaFleur and Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan. She's certainly still an option if they're interested in making her full time. And then Sanjay Lal, who was the wide receivers coach that Mike McCarthy didn't want to keep in Green Bay or in Dallas. He really did a great job with Randall Cobb last year, did an amazing job with Amari Cooper over the last 2 years, and was I think key in the development of Michael Gallup, who was a 2018 draft pick that's already, you know, a 1,000-yard guy. They've also said they're considering an internal candidate for that wide receivers coach job. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how things go, because they could not have the last time that LaFleur filled a position coach spot, he could not have done it on a more high level, you know, marquee name, tons and tons of experience. You know, Jerry Gray, 28 years in the league, 19 years as a coach. That you could, you know, that is not what you would call an up and comer. That's an established stud defensive backs coach with a long history of success. And so maybe the wide receivers coach hire is an up and comer. Who knows? But that's what's going on there. They have mentioned, like I said, that the Packers are considering internal candidates for the wide receiver's position job. And frankly, it's something that we talked about is, you know, this was not a position group that was good enough. And we talked, if you guys had a chance to read the stuff that Mark Eckel did, which was, I thought, really cool. When he talked to a executive, a front office person about the Packers roster and kind of where they were good and where they were bad, the person that worked for the other team reviewing the Packers told us at Packer Report that he felt like the wide receivers coach got the wide receivers got their coach fired. They played that bad that they got their coach fired. So offensive assistants that don't have positions right now would be Jason Vrabel and Kevin Coger if they are looking to remote from within. All right, Gilbert, you are now in Madden. How freaking cool is that?
Very cool. I think I was in Madden back in 14 or 16, somewhere in there. And then I got the call, man. A couple of people on Twitter and everything was blowing them up, talking about, hey, man, we got to get the big fella back in there. There's too many running backs running around without a hard pass. So they called me up. I said, Coach, put me in. I got in there, and I've been dominating ever since.
Yeah, the you were apparently in a 99 overall pack in Madden 16 in the overall Legends, and now again in the 19 game. I'm a Madden guy. Don't get me wrong, but I'm more, you know, just playing with my buddies or franchise mode, you know, where you take over the whole team and play seasons and stuff. Mm-hmm. This Madden Ultimate Team is interesting. You earn the ability to buy like packs of cards, and Gilbert Brown at 95 overall in Madden 19 is a card that you can, I think, get if you buy a pack, if I understand this correctly. I'm not sure how locked in you are, but that's what I understand is if you, you know, buy a enough packs or a high enough level pack, you've got a shot at a 95 overall Gilbert Brown, which, as he mentioned, I mean, that means that basically the other team's done running the ball. There's no more running the ball.
No, you got to take that outside, babe. Don't come inside with that. Take it outside. The cool thing about it is I like when I get to tackle, because my son plays a lot, so I watch him play. So I like to get to tackle all the new boys, you know. They got some rappers in there, too. I'm like, how do these rappers get on this game?
Have you gotten the invitation out to EA to do the motion capture for the Gravedigger celebration?
Nah, people been asking about it, but, you know, they ain't, I don't know if they ready for that now. We might blow a gasket on one of them things.
Yeah, I'm not sure you'd like being put in the green bodysuit with the ping pong balls all over the...
Hey, whatever it is. And then when I do it, I'm going to call Double Nickel and tell them, hey, man, now watch this so we can get this right. Watch it.
Absolutely. We'll get the we'll send the motion capture right over to Zadarius and be like, hey, man, if you're going to pay respect, you need to do it in the right way. And this is the right way. So, yeah, very cool. Were you much of a gamer growing up? What was kind of available? Was that like the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, kind of when you were growing up? Or was it more the Atari? What games did you play growing up?
I mean, if you go back, I mean, you go way back to the joystick with Atari 2600, ColecoVision, you know, type things, you know, and, you know, you always remember, try to remember the first game or the first appearance you ever came in. And I think my first one was way back in 92, 93, where it was Bill Walsh College Football. And I think that was for the, what system was it for? I want to say it's either Nintendo or EA. What's that, Sega? One of them.
Sega Genesis.
Yeah, it was Bill Walsh College Football, where they had all the college teams on there. So You look on there, and I'm looking, it's me and Stubblefield and a couple of other people on there. It was sweet, man. Old school.
Yeah, Bill Walsh College Football came out on Sega Genesis in 1993, Sega CD in 1993, and Super NES in 1994. So that would have been during your time, you know, obviously at KU. And yeah, that's always got to be cool. You know, a lot of us guys that aren't good enough to be professional athletes, you know, create a player was always something that you could do. Like I could create myself and put me at quarterback or slot receiver or whatever. But it's got to be pretty sweet to see you in the actual game and be able to play as yourself, or like you said, watch your son so play as yourself.
What was your stats when you played yourself? You probably had all the hundreds, didn't you?
I tried to be realistic, not necessarily obviously as I was, but you know, when I played ball, I decent hands, was good vertically, you know, I could jump. I was not fast. I wasn't fast, so I didn't make my player fast. Mm-hmm. I was what you would call a possession receiver. So usually if I made myself a receiver, it was like that. Same thing if I was a quarterback. I did not have the world's biggest arm, but I was really accurate. And so that was kind of the deal. The only thing was I'd make myself a little taller. See, I'm 6 feet. Hard to play quarterback at that. So I'd stretch it out to 6'2" like Rodgers. I'd stretch it out just a little bit. But that was, you know, it's always fun. And the college games are really fun because you can create yourself as like a high school quarterback, and then you can win high school games and get recruited and pick a college and then try to win the Heisman. They're a lot of fun. Did you have any non-sports? Cause I think it's a little bit, maybe more part of the culture now that guys are gaming and spending some of their free time playing against each other or just playing. I know Blake Martinez is a big one. Amon Green is a huge gamer guy. In fact, I think Amon just signed a deal to be an esports coach. Don't quote me on that, but I think he signed a deal to coach an esports team, which is really cool.
I don't know what that entails, but I saw that.
Sure. So we're obviously happy for Amon. Friend of the show, Amon Green, former guest on the show when we had our live deal at beautiful Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. But yeah, that's it's more a part of the culture now, I think, that guys are playing. I can't, unfortunately, envision like you and Reggie White getting on the sticks and playing Madden against each other.
It was you know, we were all like kids, man. So we was over at St. Norbert's, and the times we did have free times, we'd be sitting in our rooms playing games. So, of course, Tecmo Bowl was the big deal. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to beat Tecmo Bowl and see who can be the champ and go back out on practice and tell everybody how bad we beat your brains in. But I mean, video games, man, is something where it passes the time, and some guys take it real serious and some guys don't.
When did you ever play the original Tecmo Bowl?
Oh yeah. Oh,
yes. Yeah. Were you ever, you know, we had a rule where you couldn't be the Raiders.
Oh.
Because you could run the sweep with Marcus Allen or that toss to Bo Jackson. And Bo Jackson was basically not tackleable.
Right. If he had some moves on the sticks, man, he was awesome. But it didn't matter where we was from, because Chicago had that play where you couldn't stop with the tight end. You know what I'm saying? Okay. He just automatically just catches the ball for a first down. So it kind of evens itself out for us, because, you know, if you're playing a guy like that and all he want to do is throw that one play all the way down the doggone field, you bust out bone and break his neck.
Any non-sports games, and it can be recent too, but any non-sports games that you really enjoy or have had fun playing with your son, or even closer to when you retired, just kind of, like you said, to pass the time.
Oh yeah. It's plenty of games. I mean, I like God of War. I love that game. I play that. I also, play, Wolfenstein. I've played, all the Wolfenstein games. I'm still working on the one with the two daughters and different things like that. So when I do have some free times. I'm a gamer a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I'm not like Armand Green, even though I need to get him on the sticks and beat his head in his Madden, you know, let him know who the man is, because he act like he the creator of the game. So we're going to see. We're going to see. That'll be a match made, you know, because what's cool about it is my older son is in Texas, Houston, Texas.
Okay.
So sometimes if he's playing a game, or if I see him playing a game, or if my other son is playing him, I like to sit there and watch them, you know. And if they play in NBA 2K or football, it's cool because they're interacting from, they're not on the phone. You know, they're playing and having a good time. I can just sit there and watch them play, you know what I'm saying? Which is cool because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's another kind of bonding that the kids do.
Yeah, I love video games. One of my best friends, in fact, the guy who officiated our wedding, Jesse and I's wedding, he is an agent for basically gamers. Or he represents kind of the marketing interests of some gamers. And there are guys that he reps that they'll go on and play Fortnite, or they'll go on and play League of Legends or whatever. And like millions of people will, and strangers, not like their friends or their family, like millions of people will watch them play a video game. And to me, that's nuts. Like I love gaming. I love playing video games. I play a ton of NBA 2K. Really been with my stepson kind of working through this Fallen Order Jedi game. The new Star Wars video game is a ton of fun. But boy, to have millions of people watch you play a video game is something I can't wrap my head around.
You know, man, it's something like that's a different type of skill, you know, because, you know, it ain't like you're sitting in there by yourself and you just continue to just total bomb it, just horrible. You know, when you're on there, man, that means you done took some time to yourself to get your craft right, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like practicing, you know, and then when you get on the big screen, you got to put it down. So it's awesome to see these kids do these things and these different tournaments that they have and different things that they have. Some people call them geeks. Some guys are just regular guys that want to play the game. So it's awesome to see that type of dedication to something that they believe in.
It really is. And it's cool to see kind of the it's cool to see that it is cool. You know, when I was growing up even, and I'm sure it's still the case today, but obviously, you know, the athletes are kind of the cool kids in school, whether you're in college or whether you're in high school, and it was kind of the nerds that played video games. And it's cool that the nerds are cool, I think, a little bit. You know, it's cool that everybody, I think, now has their way to succeed or kind of make money or, you know, draw attention to themselves, that kind of thing. It's cool that it's something that's widely accepted now. My fondest memory, though, for sure, of video games was the original consoles that you could network. So, you know, your Xbox, basically. We, on the original Xbox, we used to set up, and it was so funny because we'd be in someone's house and there'd be these blue category 5 cables, these network cables just running everywhere. I mean, if you weren't paying attention when you went to go get a slice of pizza or refill your Mountain Dew, you know, you could trip, you could pull the socket out of somebody's Xbox. You could wreck the whole game. You could trip and hurt yourself. But we used to do these local area network setups where, you know, you'd have four guys or four TVs and you'd have 16 guys playing like Halo. That was our big thing, was you play Halo against each other. And now obviously you can do it online, jump in, play like 24 versus 24. It's all crazy. But man, in 2004 and 2005, when you got to set that up and invite a bunch of your buddies over to play, and you could play, you know, each other, not one-on-one, but like 8-on-8, and you could play these different games. That was next level stuff, man. And we had so much fun with that. So much time. Like you mentioned, bonding with your buddies, and, you know, we would have these things that, you know, would start at 8 o'clock, and we'd still be playing at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and none of the parents cared because we weren't out getting in trouble. You know, how much trouble are you going to get into smashing Doritos and pizza, you know, over at somebody's house? As far right. as, you know, nobody's out drinking or, you know, getting into trouble. It's just a bunch of dudes hanging out, eating pizza, Doritos, and slamming Mountain Dews so they can stay awake and continue to play. But a ton of fun.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. From the old days, the good old days.
Absolutely. Yeah. That getting nostalgic about the 2000s, but hey, you know, it was cool. It was certainly something that we thought was awesome. All right, let's pay the bills. Let's pay the bills and shout out our boys over at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. They have been so fantastic to us, getting us kind of going as far as this show kicked off. We had so much fun over there at the live show, and we have fun every time that Gilbert does a tailgate party over there, for sure. I'm going to plug the specials today. We're going to plug the specials Tuesday, $4 craft pints. So if you are like, and I hope my buddy Ryan is listening. Ryan is a brewer over at Lakefront Brewery. So if you've had any Fixed Gear, if you've had any Lakefront IPA, that's my boy. That's a little free plug for them. Ryan, you can have your guys send the check in the mail, but it is Taco Tuesday as well. So you can get yourself a fancy beer and tacos. Taco Tuesday all day long. 3 chicken or beef taco with nacho chips and salsa, hard or soft shell, for $8. Or you can get them to go for $1. Also, there's going to be 40-cent traditional and boneless wings from 7 to 11. Man, that is a deal. You can't. I think, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, which is what, you know, obviously a chain, but what we have around here, I think the boneless wings now are like 60 cents or 65 cents is the deal. I remember when I was a kid, man, 25 cent wing day. It was the greatest day of my life. 25 boneless cent wings. Boneless. In other words, the chicken nuggets.
Boneless wings. What is that? Come on, man. I'm a flapper guy. You know, the two bone. I'm a flapper guy.
Okay. So yeah, they call them flats. Drummies are flats. You're a flats guy.
Yeah, I'm a flats guy. You call them flats. I call them flappers.
Okay. Yeah. Man, like I said, back in the day when it was 25 cent wing day was the greatest. You could have $3, man, and go. And anyway, now we're getting nostalgic about a bunch of other stuff, but just wanted to say how much we appreciated everything that the Stadium View Bar and Grill does for us.
Absolutely. I mean, Stadium View, good food. They got some good wings over there as well. And you'd be a fool if you don't stop by and say hi. Call Bob out. Just go knock on his door. Say, I need to see Bob. I need to talk to him real quick about the state of the state of the state of the state.
And anytime you go over there, folks, make sure that they know you heard about him on the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown.
Please.
Absolutely. It's important. Important that they know that the folks are, you know, we're elevating the brand. We are making sure that you guys are going to Stadium View. That's a one thing I haven't tried over there. I've had a lot of their food. I have not sampled the wings. So maybe we'll maybe we'll have to get involved in training camp and get in on the wings.
Really?
All right, Gilbert, we need to wrestle with the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And that is that your boy Pepper Johnson, his XFL career lasted 4 quarters.
Man, I want a new team, man. I need to look these up. Who the head coach over there?
That is Winston Moss. So
figures.
He
figures.
Yeah, he was. So Winston was, Winston was Mike McCarthy's associate head coach. So theoretically, he was his second in command. And not a guy that.
How long did he have that job?
Winston, a long time. Yeah, yeah. Winston. Yeah, he did. So Winston Moss was, I think, I'm almost certain he was part of like the Alonzo Highsmith Miami crew. Yeah, drafted second round, 1987, went to the U, so was part of those kind of wild, those wild teams in the 80s with the original U. So like Howard Schnellenberger and Jimmy Johnson, the U, not the second version. So he was teammates with Alonzo, but he was brought in 2006. So that's exactly actually when McCarthy was hired. He was brought in 2006 as a linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. And then in 2007, he was promoted to assistant head coach and held that position as assistant head coach and linebackers coach from 2007 to 2018. So he was 12, 13 years on the Packers staff.
Oh, really? He was there for a while.
He was, yeah. And as many folks have mentioned, really did not at all sync with the media. Was
who likes the media? Come on. Well,
I mean,
yeah, I'm part of the media now.
You are the media, so but yeah, I mean, famously, you know, the I can't help you. I can't remember what the question was, but he just stared at either Jason Wilde or Rob Domofsky and said, I can't help you. When they tried to ask him something about the linebackers.
But you do got to understand, they do get under your skin. Like Bob McGinn, oh my God, he used to get under my skin. I like him, but he used to get under my skin.
And that's fine, and that happens, but it was a pattern with Winston. I mean, he was not a nice guy all the time. You know, you know that name that's sometimes people name Richard, it's short for Richard. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
That was Winston Moss all the time.
Or asshole, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And so Winston has very few friends in the media. A lot of people, a lot of folks that had absolutely no problem witnessing the LA Wildcats take your LA Wildcats.
No.
Take a 37-17 ass whipping down in Saturday at Houston. Got absolutely drilled. 37-17. Really a rough outing. And then on Monday, poof, Pepper Johnson, no longer the defensive coordinator.
I can understand. I mean, when you look at it and stuff, I mean, get a dude a chance, man, to correct mistakes and do this, that, and the other. I mean, that might be a shorter tender. That's a shorter tender than how they did Ray Rose, man. What's the deal?
Yeah, and the funny, well, funny, and it's never funny.
No.
But the interesting thing to me is you look at Winston Moss and not only his group over and over again failed the Packers in playoff games, in big time situations, the defense over and over again, you know, didn't Rodgers would go and take the lead or Rodgers would go tie the game and the defense would give up the game winning touchdown over and over again. Years where they were 25th, 28th, 29th, 26th in total defense. Years, and McCarthy stuck with him and stuck with him and stuck with him, even specifically his position group. Years of underachievement from guys like AJ Hawk and underachievement from guys like Brad Jones. Years of very mediocre linebacker play, and McCarthy stuck with him and stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's defensive coordinator gives up 37 once. See ya. Goodbye. No.
It had to be something else in there. You know what I'm saying? It had to be something else in there, you know, and that just made it easier for him to do. I mean, you know, it's just, you never realize what a dude is thinking of or going through, but come on, man, one game. Nobody.
Yeah. I think you have to hope that, not that you ever want people to fight, but you have to hope that there was like a dust up in the, you know what I mean? That somebody told somebody off and they just weren't going to be able to work together anymore. You have to hope that it wasn't just one game that the defense gave up 37 points and, hey, by the way, you're done. You have to hope that there's more to it.
Yeah, it has to be. 'Cause I know Pepper, man, Pepper don't, Pepper don't take no mess either. So I don't know. You hate to see it, but I don't know.
So was that your favorite rule change? The 1, 2, and 3 point lines for the point after touchdown?
Yeah, it is, man. Because now you can score and put them away, or you can score and be conservative, or you can score and be wild. You know what I'm saying? By 1, 2, and 3 points. You know what I'm saying? That's something that's cool, you know, but, you know, takes away the kicker out of it, you know, which some people just love them kickers, you know. But, hey, I like it, man. It's something cool, man. I like it.
Yeah, and the other thing about that is, the kickers are still involved in just kicking field goals.
Right.
And I think you kind of have to keep that part of the game in. But it screws with the math. Unfortunately, there's a lot of conservative coaches in the XFL. I had to laugh at Mark Trestman, the former Bears. I can't remember if he was coach. I think he was a coach and not just the offensive coordinator. I think he was a coach. But he was down 15 in the second half. And you can get 9 for a touchdown. You know, you can go in, throw a touchdown. It was like 4th and 2. You get a touchdown, that's 6. And then you can go for 3 and get 9. And he was down 15 in the second half and just kicked a field goal on 4th and 2. They ended up losing the game. I mean, you can't be conservative like that and win football games that late. But it was just like, boy, you would love to see some of these analytics guys, some of these math guys figure out, okay, what percentage of times do we have to be successful where it makes sense to go for 2 every time? What percentage of times do we have to be successful that it makes sense to go for 3 every time? Because I feel like they have to figure out the numbers. I think I didn't watch as many games as I wanted to, specifically because NDSU basketball had a home game on Saturday that I had to cover for a number of hours. But it felt to me like most teams were just going for 1 from the 2-yard line. Is that what it felt like to you?
Yeah. I mean, being safe, being conservative, getting as close as you can to it. But what you said the coach was,
analytics. Yeah. Analytics, yeah.
Yeah, he would have a field day with this because
– He would, absolutely.
Scenarios of how to play the game and get the most points.
Right, because like so, here's an example. And some of the more forward thinking head coaches have done a little bit of this, and you'll see it at Oregon at the college level. You'll see it like Doug Peterson with the Eagles. And so the simple math, Gilbert, says that if you convert your 2-point plays at 51% or better, you'll end up with more points over the course of the end of the season. Right, because if you convert your extra points, your 1-point play, if you convert that every time, you have to convert a 2-point play half of the time to get as many points. So if you do any better than half at all, at the end of the season, you'll have made more points. Now, maybe going for 2 costs you a game here, wins you a game there, whatever, but the math is kind of the math. So I'd be interested to see what they think they can convert as to, okay, does our XFL team go for 2, for 3, or for 1? Unfortunately, right now, most of the answer is for 1. I would like to see, you know, an aggressive coach, not necessarily figure it out, but an aggressive coach that's like, no, you know what? We have just as good a chance or close to just as good a chance getting that 2 points from the 5. And I'm excited to see, you know, teams that are down big late trying to get 9-point touchdowns, man. That it's wild stuff. So anyway, and the kickoff is an interesting thing too. You can almost run blocking scheme. Like you could run like a trap out of that 10 versus 10 deal. I like that they can't go until the ball is caught. It kind of takes the pressure off the return man, you know, as far as muffing it. Like he's got to have it secure before they can go, and I think, you know, it's going to remove or obviously does remove a lot of those collisions on kickoff that cause so many concussions and stuff for special teamers. I think it's an interesting idea. I think you can still have an explosive play out of that, and I think it's something for the NFL to at least consider or take a look at. I like their kickoff. So, brief recap for our squads. Gilbert is now a free agent after leaving the LA Wildcats with Pepper. We'll deal with his fandom on another day. My New York Guardians smashed Tampa 23-3. They had the top defensive performance, holding the Tampa Bay Vipers to a field goal in a home game. My New York Guardians head to DC now for that first game on Saturday. They're going to take on the DC Defenders. Should be able to get that taken care of at Audi Field. We got to figure out who you're cheering for. we got to get it figured out, because right now Gilbert has less than no time for the LA Wildcats after they got absolutely obliterated and fired his friend Pepper Johnson.
Absolutely not. I need to find me a team ASAP, because I want everybody to beat the brakes off of my old team. Beat the brakes off.
All right, Gilbert. Thank you so much for your time this week. Folks, thanks for listening. Hit our time perfectly. Hopefully this is about the time that your commute is and you've enjoyed your ride to or ride home from work. We certainly appreciate you spending that time with us. Just have to thank Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Again, folks, there are two different ways to support this show and make sure that this baby keeps on going. The number one way is to tell, 10 friends, 20 friends, 30 Packers fans friends about the show and have them subscribe. Make sure that it's getting on to their device of choice automatically every single time that we drop a show. The other way is to become a VIP member over at Packer Report. And guys, there's a flash sale, 60% off of a PackerReport.com annual VIP membership, 60% off. We're talking about video games. Video games right now are $59.99. This is about $20 cheaper than that for a year of our phenomenal content over at Packer Report. It is a huge deal for us and allows us to continue doing the podcast, allows us to continue bringing you the best Packers content on the internet. Folks, have a real fine Tuesday, and go Pack, go.